Darius did. There you go. They ask old Lazarus, can you explain, listen, how a man can be dead and live again? Well, that's just insane. Well, Lazarus said, boy, I heard his voice, spoke new life to me, and it set me free when he called my name. And remember when he called your name. Never been the same. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm not the same anymore. Changed man, thank God. They are Zacchaeus. Can you tell us about Jesus in a sycamore tree? I climbed up to see the Lord pass my way. Then the Savior called out, today I'll stay at your house. So I took him in, he forgave all my sin, when he called my name. He called my name, I heard his voice, he called my name, I made my choice, I knew my life would never be the same. He called my name and lifted me up from the miry pits.
Genesis in the 35th chapter. Appreciate the Lord very much and all that he is in our life. Man, I just don't know where we'd be without the Lord. What's that old song? Had it not been, let's see, what is it? We didn't sing it so long. Had it not been for, say it, tell me again. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, tell me, where would we be? Where would I be? Yeah. Amen. Had it not been. All right. Genesis, the 35th chapter, verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. We're in Genesis 35th chapter now in verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him. Put away the strange little g gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of the God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. Verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the word. We thank you so much, God, for, Lord, every soul that's here, for what you've given us in this day. Thank you for the service this morning, God, and the souls that was blessed by your presence, by the power of the word this morning. And Father, equally as well in this service, Lord, that your presence to be felt and known in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the love that we have among one another here, Lord. I thank you for our family that we have here, God. Father, help us never to take one another for granted. God, we're all special and we're all needed to be part of this local body. And Father, touch our hearts tonight. Let us receive the word tonight the way you would have us to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mike laid a thing on my desk back there this morning. I saw it, and it's a little letter, and it says something about my typewriter. This is kind of an old one, and there it's got, I think, a couple of keys is messed up, so it just puts X where like E's and S's, and you've seen the writing that where you change some of the insides of the word but leave the outside, the first and last letter, the same. You can still kind of read the letter. You know, our minds has a way of doing that. But you can still read the letter in all that, but it is a little more difficult to do. It can still be read, but it's a little difficult. And in this little story here, it talks about each one of us that sometimes, you know, when a particular letter or part of a word is missing, it's a little more difficult to read the letter. But you can still get it done, but it's difficult. And it's talking about the church, that we're all needful. And sometimes without everybody, it's more difficult, you know. But through God, we're going to get it done. But it's, you know, we need all to do our part. Amen. Because we're all needful. It's much easier to read the letter when all the letters are in place. Amen. We see here in this story, Israel is kind of like us today. We're so busy in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The work of the Lord is important, and we must do it, and we must get it done. But in our doing and our getting, we cannot forget the most important thing is the Lord of the work. Amen. If we forget the Lord of the work, or we're so busy with other gods, then we have no room for the Lord of the work. The same way that they didn't have room for Jesus in the inn, and many people don't have room for God to work it in their busy life. The creature has no room for the creator. That's kind of weird, isn't it? You know, the one that has created, that owns everything and has made everything. And we're here doing and living in this that he has made for us. And yet we don't have any room for him and time for him. We forget him. The first commandment tells us that we're to have no other gods before him. In fact, Jesus, when they was questioned about which is the great commandment, he said the first is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. With everything we got, God's got to be number one. That's what he's talking about. If God's not number one, he's not going to be any at all. Amen. So we understand we got to have this. They have come to Bethel. They took and they pulled off all the gods that was in their hands and the earrings that was on them. And Jacob has gone and he hid them and buried them under an oak. And that's a little meaning here. We'll get into it there in a few minutes. But they've come unto a place called Bethel. Now where have we understood and heard this name of Bethel? And we know here, it said in the story here, it's the same place where Jacob was running from Esau, and he gets to a place of confidence in God. And we've preached messages on it, Mahanaim, and y'all familiar with the Mahanaim and what that is. It's a place of two armies. The seen and the unseen resources that we have available. We see what we have, and sometimes we get our eyes on that, we begin to worry. But we got to understand that we have God's resources too. So not only we have the seen resources, we have the unseen. And this is the same place here in Luz. It's the same place where he has come running from Esau, and he gets courage to face Esau at Mahanaim. It is also the same place where Jacob, and that was in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, and the 28th chapter is the same place, and actually where he named the place Bethel. It's where he was there and he was dreaming and he seen the angels on a ladder and they going ascending into heaven and descending, ascending and descending. Amen. And so we understand that he named the place Bethel. Amen. And it's the same place there where he wrestled with God. But we see here that this place is in a land called Luz. Now Luz is meaning almond. It's what the name means. It means almond. And an almond in the Word of God means an awakening. It is a place where we wake up. See, I believe the church is asleep. Amen. I believe the church is about like the disciples when Jesus would go and seek the Father and pray in the garden, and he would come back and they would be asleep. And so the church world as a whole is asleep in a time that we need to be awake and watching, amen, and waiting like the brides that had the oil in their lamps, amen. I believe we're living in the time that we ought to be excited about the day we're living, of the times, and all the prophecies has been fulfilled, hallelujah. Amen. It says that Luz, it means almond. Almond means awakening. It means a growing there. Almond in the Word of God is a symbol, and it symbolizes the dependability of God in many places. The almond in Israel was used, the oil for the home and for medicine. The almond blossom is on the lamps in the house of God. It is molded on the blossom. The almond blossom is molded on the lamps in the Word of God, in the house of God, rather. And what that Word of God, the lamps represents the Word of God, the light. Amen. The Word of God brings light, and it's representing the Word of God, which is a light under our path, a lamp unto our feet. Amen. And so what the almond blossom represents here is the fervency or the hastening of the Word of God. Remember, he told Jeremiah, he showed him, he said, what do you see? And he said, I see an almond branch. And what happened? He said, it blossomed and it brought forth almonds. And we understand, and he says, I'll hasten my word to perform it. Amen. And that's what God is wanting us to understand, that God wants to hasten his word alive in mine and your lives. He wants us to be a success, if you will. But they've come to Bethel. Now, Beth means house. Like Bethlehem means house of bread. like Beth Shemesh means house of the sun. And it's no different in Bethel. Beth means house, and El represents the names of God. So he's talking, we have come to the house of God. When they come to Bethel, we've come to the house of God. Amen. They came prepared to the house of God. Before they ever left the other place to go to the house of God, they got prepared to go to the house of God. He made them to take the strange gods out of their hands and off their ears. And he took them and he buried them that they couldn't find them anymore. And he said, when we do that, we're getting ready to go to the house of God. That's how we need to come to the house of God. Come on. So often we wait to get to the house of God, and we want to come into the house of God and get ready to come to the house of God. No, we get ready to come to the house of God before we come to the house of God. We get prepared. Hallelujah. They have come to Bethel, the house of God. They put away their strange gods out of their hands. And when they come to Bethel, the Lord has instructed Jacob to build an altar. Now, an altar symbolizes sanctification. Amen. They have come to the house of God, and they come to build this altar to sanctify themselves. Amen. And then he names the place after he's built this altar. He names the place in verse 7, El Bethel. Instead of Bethel, which is the house of God, they see not just Bethel, the house of God, but when they build the altar and they sanctify themselves, then they begin to see El Bethel, or the God of the house. See, so often we come to the house of God, but we need to be coming to the God of the house. Amen. That's what he wants us to do, is to come to the God of the house. It's well and good to have this building, and we come to the house of God. But God said, I'd rather you come to the God of the house. Hallelujah. He said, I am the God of the house. And he wants to be the God of that house, in this house, this temple. He wants to be El Bethel here in mine and your life. The Lord of us. Amen. Instead of always about the work of the Lord, we need to get our minds more on the Lord of the work. Come on, we are all guilty of being busy in the work of the Lord. You remember the book of Acts? You remember, you know, Peter and John and the apostles? And they was having to wait on tables, and they was doing and busy in the work of the Lord. And finally somebody said, hey, it's not right that the man of God take and leave away from the God of the work and come to do the work of the Lord. Amen. Come on. And so they chose them 7 men full of the Holy Ghost to do the work of the Lord, that the man of God could do the Lord of the work. Amen. You see, there's so much in life to do. There's so much work. There is. And if we're not watchful, we can forget the Lord of the work. Amen. Having our minds on the work of the Lord, we forget the Lord of the work. We become servants of the people. Come on. People, if you let them, they'll run you to death. They will. Now, the Sunday night crowd and the Wednesday night crowd is an exception. Y'all people, I mean, it doesn't matter if you don't ever see y'all, ever have to talk to y'all or anything. I mean, y'all get along just fine. But there's 10% in the church that'll run you to death. They'll work you to death. One reason is they're not saved. If they get their life right and get in there and get their hands on the plow and begin to do a work, they will have time for all the other stuff. But what happens? We become servants to the people. We become servants to the things. And how in America, you know, we get married and we get, you know, we get a little job and we get to acquiring things, you know, and we get more things and we get more things. And instead of us owning things, those things owns us. It distracts us from what we really need to be doing because we got so much to do. I mean, there's some people, I guarantee you, that's not here tonight because they had something they had to do. I don't know of anything more important than being right here tonight. Amen. Had some Sister Marlene. I don't know. Didn't you and Kimberly went? Who else? Just y'all? Brother Wayne Ackerman's mother's viewings tonight. I hate not be there, but he understands this is more important. I plan to be in the funeral tomorrow. She couldn't go to the funeral tomorrow, so she told me this morning, she said, we'll go run over there to the viewing, West Ashley, and we'll be back. May not make it right at 6, but we'll be back shortly after. I said, well, you know, I'm kind of like an easy pastor. I said, well, if you don't make it back, that's all right. I'm just kind of, you know, I appreciate the fact that you had a mind to come back. Amen? It makes me feel good. I don't know about y'all. And the viewing was at 5 o'clock, and she went over there. She saw the family, saw everything, took care of the business. She was back before 6, wasn't she? Wow. I know she didn't speed. Huh? There's others that went to it tonight, and they're probably still over there talking. They get a copy of it. That's all right. I mean, I got no problem with it. I'm not saying, I didn't say that I disagree. That's fine. That's well and good. That's fine. I'm just saying, where's our priorities? Instead of being the servants of the Lord that Sister Connie talked about a while ago, we become servants of things and servants of anything that occupies and preoccupies our time. Amen? That's what happens. We become servants to people or servants to thing or servants to stuff. It's all this stuff. And I've preached a lot of funerals and I've never seen anybody going out with that hearse with a truckload of stuff following it. Come on. Servants of self. There's some people that servants of self. Instead of servants of the Lord, they're servants of self. We got to understand that just going to Bethel was not enough. Just going to the house of God, friends, is not enough. You say, Brother Dave, I come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What else can I do? It is not enough just to come to the house of God. We've got to come to the God of the house. And we've got to yield before Him and humble ourselves before Him and let Him be Lord of our house. Our lives. He has to be number one. He's not going to be number two. He's not going to listen to excuses. He's not going to say, that's okay. You got all these other things to do. Go take your all that business and then come follow me. No, 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 no. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Amen. Just going to Bethel is not enough. They had to build the altar. Amen. We need to come to the God of the house. We need to get in touch with the God of the house. He said in Colossians 3:1, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because this earth is going to be consumed by fire. And if your affection is in this earth, it will be consumed. But set your affection on things above. Let your love be there on the God of the house. El Bethel is what we need. Matthew's gospel in the 16th chapter, where Jesus began to tell and foretell of his, that God's plan for him to go to the cross. And what happened in verse 22, the 16th chapter of Matthew, he said, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men.
What do you serve tonight? What are you a servant to? What do you savor after, amen? Ask somebody this week, when you see that they're not in church and don't have time for God, say, what are you savoring after? What is it that you're running after in your life? Who is Lord of your life? Amen. And it said in verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke's gospel in the 11th chapter, verse 42, it says, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye pay mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. In other words, what he's saying here, that you pay tithes. And that's what the prophets, Pharisees, was big on tithing. And they did all kind of herbs and things of the law. And Jesus said, these things you should have done, but what you have done, you have forgot the God of the house. You have forgotten me. You got caught up in the work of the Lord and forgot the Lord of the work. That's what he's saying. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Somebody says, well, Brother David, I guess I'm just guilty of loving my family too much. Come on, you've seen some people that they can't do, you know, they can't do for the Lord because they got to do so much for their family. And they say, well, Brother Dave, I'm just guilty of loving my family too much. No, that's not your problem. Your problem is you don't love God enough. It's not that you don't love your family too much. You just don't love God enough. That's the problem right there in a nutshell. You tell them I said so. Amen. What did Jacob do? Jacob took the strange gods and hid them. He buried them so they could not find them. Huh? What did Aaron do? What did Aaron do when Moses up on the mountain seeking the God of the house, the Lord of the work? Aaron was down here being servant of the people. Amen. And what did he do? He told them to take off their earrings and their rings and their bracelets and all the gold and cast them into the fire. And what did he do? He should have took and buried them. But what did he do? He made a golden calf and the people began to worship it. They just traded one God for another. That's all they did. That's what a lot of people do. They come to churches to ease their conscience and all they do is trade one God to another. They're just constantly trading from one God to another. When you need to remember and find out that you need to get rid of all other gods and have the one true God. Gideon, you know, Aaron should have realized that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Gideon got in trouble like that. Gideon told him to take off their earrings and stuff. And what did he do? He made an ephod out of it. The people went, the Bible said in the 8th chapter of Judges, they went a whoring after it. They just left one God and went to another. That's all they do, trade gods. Same junk, isn't it? Same idolatry. Isaiah in the 2nd chapter verse 17 it says, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. See, there's a day coming when all these other gods is not going to carry much meaning. Things that, it's kind of like the story of the man that had, he was so caught up in this gold. He likes gold, you know, and he's so proud of it. And it's just a story now. It's not the truth. It's just a little fairy tale. Here, listen. Bring a point. And he makes it to heaven and he walks in and he's got this big old bag of gold he's dragging with him, you know. And oh, he's so proud of it. He spent his whole life getting this. He worked hard day and night. He slaved and burned himself out. And now he's got it and he's dragging it in and he's so proud.
And old Peter looks at him and said, "Hey, sir," says, "what's in the little black bag you got?" "Oh, I'm glad he asked that, because I can't wait to show Peter what I've got." And he opens it up, and all that gold is down in there. And old Peter looks over and he said, "Asphalt? What you doing with asphalt?" See, the streets in heaven are paved with pure gold. Come on. What man puts so high, God walks on it in heaven. Hallelujah. We got it. We got it all turned around. We got it all backwards. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. This is when he's coming back. And he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one to for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. I mean, this that they thought was so precious, all of a sudden it loses every bit of the value. It said, this is not important, but he is. Think about it. It says, verse 21, to go into the cliffs of the rocks, into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Amen. Other things won't be so important all of a sudden. Amen. Listen, it goes on. It says in the 30th chapter of the same book, verse 22, he said, "Ye shall defile." That means to pronounce unclean. Also the covering of the graven images of silver. In other words, just the cloth that you cover over it. You gonna pronounce that even unclean. Come on. Not just the idols, but just that. And the ornament of the molten images of gold, thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel cloth. Oh, you think about that for a minute. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. That's the way we need to look at idols. I believe that's the way old Jacob, when he was headed to build that altar at El Bethel. Come on. I believe that's the way he said, I want to get this away from these people like a menstrual cloth. I want to get it away because I know how it contaminates and can breed disease. A little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. And he went and he buried it that they could not find it. It says, verse 23, then... When, after you've cast them away, get thee hence, then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Hallelujah. Don't that sound good? It does to me. I don't know. Amen. It sounds good to me. Listen. 1 Chronicles in the 22nd chapter, verse 17. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand. And the Lord and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord, your God, the God of the house." Seek, you know, set your heart to seek him, the Lord of the work, rather than the work of the Lord. Amen. He said, "Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord." Amen. You see, what has transpired here is that Jacob is instructed by God to take the people away from Shechem. And what that word means is, let me look at it here, a place of burdens. A place of burdens. It also means neck. Now, I thought about something interesting about the neck. When we go from that, we go in the name of this neck, you know, and we do like the neck. The neck is pretty unique, isn't it? Everybody, just look forward, straight forward. Now, everybody, turn your neck, start turning it to the left real slow. Just keep going. Don't move your shoulders now. Just don't move your shoulders. I see some of you sitting sideways like Sister Glenda. She's cheating. Okay. Keep going to the left. Keep going to the left. Keep going. All, come on. Keep going. Just go all the way around. Just go all the way around. Huh? Oh, you can only go right there, huh? Now, go all the way back to the right. Go all the way back to the right. Now, God designed this neck for us never to look back. He said you can see on either side. You see forward. But that thing's designed not to look back. He said in Luke 9:62, he said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lot's wife looked back, did she not? She had to turn. She had to turn around. Now she couldn't. See, if God had made this neck to where you could look behind you from facing forward, then he'd be responsible for backsliding. But you see, we are responsible because we take it upon ourselves to turn around and look back. Huh? Come on, church. Come on. He took us from a place of burdens. That's where they had the gods in their hand, was a burden. He took the earrings, a burden. And Jacob buried them according to what God wanted him to do. And he led the people to the house of God. And he built an altar. And he named it El Bethel, God of the house of God, if you want to. God of the house. Now, I'm going to close right here with this very familiar scripture over in Second Chronicles. Sister McElvaney's favorite scripture. One of them is. He says here in verse number 13 of the 7th chapter. She don't have this, so you'll have to look it up. And he's talking here. Solomon is praying here. And he's took on the responsibility of being David's son when David wanted to build the house of God. Well, after he built this house of cedar, David got caught up in the work of the Lord. And he forgot the Lord of the work. It's like the Taj Mahal. Y'all, I've told it recently a couple of times. The Taj Mahal is a big, enormous, you know, all kind of money to build it. His king, his wife died. And he wanted to have this big Taj Mahal, this big shrine that she would be buried in. And he went to building this grandeur and this grand thing. And he set the coffin out there and he began to build it around it. And through the years of building, it kept getting moved from here to here to here to here to here. And they got the Taj Mahal all finished. It was all complete. It was ready. And they got to looking around for the coffin, and they couldn't find it. Wouldn't it be awful to serve the Lord all your life and miss heaven because we forgot the God of the house? The God of the house. We get caught up in our beautiful singing and our wonderful preaching and our nice automobiles and our beautiful church and our nice suits, and we forget the real reason we're come together. He says here, verse 13, he said, if I shut up heaven, may there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Or if I send pestilence among my people. If my people,
which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You say, well, Brother David, it doesn't make sense what he's talking there. If they'll humble themselves and pray and seek his face, then turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven. Who is I? I is God. In other words, he said, if we'd humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our sin, then he would hear our prayers in heaven. He said in Isaiah the 59th chapter in verse 1, he said the Lord's ears are not dull that he cannot hear, and his hands are not short that he cannot reach, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. So if we get that out of the way, all the iniquities and sin, and seek rather the work of the Lord, but seek the Lord of the work. It's not coming to the house of God, but we're coming to the God of the house. Hallelujah. It'll make a difference in our lives. Don't get me wrong tonight. The work of the Lord is important. The work of the Lord must be done. And God expects us to do the work of the Lord. Amen? But in our work of the Lord, we cannot forget the Lord of the work. So if my people, which are called by my name, are you called by his name tonight? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. In other words, when we build that altar and we come to a place called El Bethel. When they came to El Bethel, it's the same place. It was a deep meaning to Jacob. Those coming in from us tonight. It's a deep meaning to Jacob. It's a place where many times when he was distressed that he came to. And I believe at all the times he came, when he came and he saw the angels going up, ascending and descending, when he wrestled with the Lord, when you know, he was there discouraged, and the Lord saw the angels, and he called the place Mahanaim, place of two armies. Out of all those times, it was wonderful and it was good. But I believe this time was the very best time that Jacob ever had, because he realized that his heart needed to be focused on the God of the house. Not what God can do for me, but what I can do for him. Because he's God. And I love him, don't you? Come on, stand with us.